Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, what's up, everybody? To those of you that are joining us online and all of you here hanging out in Greenfield with us, it is awesome to be here with you today. I'm honored and privileged that I get to share a little bit with you today. And man, if you missed last week was awesome. As we wrapped up our series, Live Big, last week, it was cool to see just how many of you stepped up and just, you know, gave financially as well as served so many people that need it in such a big way. And my family and I, we had a blast during Live Big as well. We actually served with our Ridge group. And what we did was we built these, we put together these party kits. And so we did this as a Ridge group, and these party kits went to one of our local partners called City and a Hill, and we had a blast with it. And if you're ready to hear about the totals from Live Big, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks because we were going to announce them at our Christmas Eve services. But speaking of Christmas, you know, Christmas is in full force around here in Wisconsin. And one of the things that my wife and I and our family, we love to do during the Christmas season is we love to watch classic Christmas movies. Or at least the movies that we think are classic Christmas movies. And we usually have some, you know, some sort of tradition to go with those movies. Like, for instance, one of our favorite movies to watch is White Christmas. And we always watch this when my wife Tracy, who is the most beautiful, detail-oriented control freak you've ever met. She decorates the Christmas tree. But at least I get the opportunity to move that tree around 9 or 10 times before it's in the perfect spot. But another couple of movies that we love to watch are Home Alone 1 and 2. Those are classic Christmas movies in our household. And maybe our favorite Christmas movie to watch is The Christmas Story. You know, we love to watch this movie on Christmas morning, right after we open up our presents. I think it really helps us, you know, just makes us feel a little bit better about our chaotic family. But the thing is with Christmas movies, and I think why we all love Christmas movies so much is because they all have that one Christmas moment in them. You know, it usually happens maybe at the end of the movies where everybody comes together and they're singing under the Christmas tree, a bunch of carols together, and it's just this special Christmas moment. But the reality for most of our Christmases is that that's not the way it happens. And that's why we're kicking off a brand new series today that we are calling Classic Christmas. And if you think about the last 20 months of our lives, they have been unique to say the least. I mean, think about what Christmas was like last year. You were right in the middle of a COVID pandemic, and here in Wisconsin, we still had the mask mandates in place, and you know there was really no sporting events to go to live or Christmas concerts to go to live, and our local health officials were really they were telling us not to hang out with other people for your Christmas holiday, and the tension and the anxiety that came from last year's Christmas has actually gone a lot farther than just last December. You know, if we think about 2021, for a lot of us, 2021 was just as hard, if not harder, than 2020. You know, I read this study from the Gallup poll earlier this month, actually, and it talked about this. It says that because of everything we have experienced over this last season, we have become sadder, angrier, more worried, and even more stressed than we have been at any time in our life over the last 15 years. And see, so many of us, we're just tired of living this way. We want to get back to whatever our version of that classic Christmas was, right? The pre-pandemic Christmas where you didn't have to worry about the worldwide pandemic and everything that it's affected. But the reality of this Christmas is this. Our schedules are already beginning to fill up. You know, if you've gone shopping at any of the stores lately, you see that the shelves at the stores are just about as empty as I've ever seen them before. And the prices of goods are skyrocketing. And because of COVID, we're gonna have a lot more empty chairs at some of our holiday gatherings from some lost loved ones. So I've got this question for us. Will we allow our expectations of this Christmas season to cause us to miss out on what we really are hoping for this Christmas? And see, what we're gonna do in this series is we're gonna take a look at the original Christmas, the original classic Christmas, the very first Christmas. And we're gonna take a look at everything that that original class experienced, and we're gonna unpack all of the tension around that event. And our goal for the series is not only for us to get the most out of this, or most out of this unique season, but also experience the best that God has for us. And by doing that, this will allow us to make this Christmas a classic Christmas. So here's where I'm gonna start today. Today I'm gonna start by talking about the expectations that we have for this year's Christmas. See, I think a lot of us, we want that, you know, classic Christmas movie, or that classic movie Christmas this year, right? We want like the ending to It's a Wonderful Life. And if any of you have seen that movie, it's when the whole town, they come together and they're gathering together and they're singing carols together and everybody loves each other and it's just such a perfect moment. But most of our Christmases are gonna look like my favorite Christmas movie, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, where the turkey, it comes out dry, right? And the Christmas tree starts on fire, and then crazy uncle or cousin Eddie, right? He shows up in his RV, and the cops get called. You know, one of the reasons that I think we love this movie so much is because, you know, just the craziness of what these people are going through helps us, you know, appreciate our Christmases a little better. Because the reality is that things are gonna go wrong at our Christmas. They're not gonna live up to our expectations. And guess what? They always did. See, did you know that the first Christmas was a National Lampoon Christmas, or National Lampoon movie waiting to happen? And here's what I mean by that. There was two versions of the Christmas story in the Bible. One was written by Luke and the other was written by Matthew. And today we're gonna take a look at the version that was written by Luke. And what we're gonna see as we read the story that he wrote is that God used him to just write down and narrate all of the expectations that were coming around this huge event. And so Luke, he starts out with the story of Zechariah. And maybe you forget about his part in the Christmas story, or maybe you didn't ever knew about who Zechariah was, or just didn't remember him, but Zechariah was like Jesus's uncle. And he was this high priest, and he always wanted to have children, but he wasn't able to have children. And then this angel comes to him, and he says, "Hey, man, I am going to grant your grant your prayer, and I am going to give you a child." But he doesn't believe the angel. So because of his lack of faith, what happens is he actually gets struck mute during the whole pregnancy. And guess who that child turned out to be? Turned out to be John the Baptist, who is Jesus's cousin. So here's God, and he says, "Hey, Zechariah, you know, I am going to answer your prayer, but while I answer it, it's gonna be awesome, and you're gonna have a boy, but while I answer it, you're not gonna be able to talk. And hey, by the way, your boy is going to grow up to be this crazy lunatic who lives out in the wilderness and lives off of eating bugs, and then when he's in his mid-30s, guess what's gonna happen? His head's gonna get chopped off by a crazy king." So he says, "Hey, Zechariah, I'm going to answer your prayer, but it's not gonna look anything like you wanted it to. You know, I had this dream that began when I was 6 years old. And it was this dream of me becoming an anesthesiologist. And I even took that dream to college with me. And so when I first went to college, I was a pre-med student and I was doing really well until I got to this one class called organic chemistry. And not only did I fail organic chemistry, but I failed it twice. And eventually, I ended up having my dream come true and get a degree, but that degree was a business degree, and now I'm standing here as a pastor. And how did that happen? Well, it didn't happen the way that I expected it to. So now Luke, he gets to the part of the Christmas story that most of us know, and so he says here in Luke 1, he says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to Joseph, descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." So what we see here is Mary is greatly troubled. And can you blame her? You know, just put yourself in her shoes for a moment. You know, she just found out that she was going to raise the Son of God. Now, ladies, I don't know about you, but this is definitely not a job that I would sign up for. See, I think the pressure of not screwing up raising a kid in the first place is enough, let alone the Son of God. And on top of it all, the only reason people are gonna think that you're pregnant is because you cheated on Joseph. And if she was, she was scared by the first part and troubled by the first part of the story, it's a good thing that she doesn't remember the rest of the story. So after Jesus is born, then Luke gets to the part of the child dedication. And this is a part of the story that we probably don't, you know, talk about a lot either, but this is where Joseph and Mary, they meet this guy named Simeon. And so Simeon's been waiting for the Messiah to show up forever, his whole life. And so in this moment, he is pumped when they bring the Messiah, they bring Jesus to him. And so he's really excited, and he blesses Mary and Joseph and then Jesus. And then he turns to Mary and he says this. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against. Now, this is what we all want for a kid, right? That he's gonna be the source of destruction and then he's gonna be made fun of. But, and Simeon, he doesn't stop there. He says this, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul. All right, thanks, Simeon. Right, maybe just like a congratulations, you know, on your new baby would be better the next time. But what this shows us is this shows us the reality and the weight of this very first Christmas. Now think about our Christmases this year and think about how it relates to the original classic Christmas. Now, I'm guessing that nobody in here is having a virgin birth, but a lot of us in here have kids, or at least we've got kids somewhere in our family, and kids add stress, right? They're stressful. I mean, they're awesome, they're amazing, but they add stress during the Christmas season. Or maybe some of you are feeling some physical pain right now. You know, not the labor pains like Mary was feeling, or the pains from riding a donkey all day long when you're pregnant, but you're feeling some physical pain right now that is beginning to mess up your Christmas. Or maybe like Joseph, you're feeling some doubts. You know, not doubts on who the father or the mother of your child or father of your child is, but doubts on, are you good enough? You know, what is the purpose for your life? Doubts on if everything is okay and you're gonna get through this. But here's the reality of Christmas. Your Christmas is not going to be perfect. Things aren't always going to work out the way that you had it planned. I mean, think about Mary and Joseph, right? These things didn't work out the way that they expected. You know, they're newlyweds and they probably just wanted to, you know, be normal newlyweds, do what newlyweds do, like trying to figure out how to get out of their parents' house or try to buy their first dog. And then God, he rocks their world with the coming of Jesus. And they're probably having a hard time trying to understand why, but guess what? God's plan for them was so much better than they expected. And I know for a lot of us right now, our unrealistic expectations of our Christmas this year is already starting to mess up Christmas for us. You know, it's already starting to add some anger, some anxiety, maybe some stress to a season that's supposed to be about joy and peace. And I don't want our unrealistic expectations to mess up Christmas for us this year. So here's what we need to do. We need to expect it to be better. And here's what I mean by better, is that we need to expect it to not be about, you know, the perfect holiday traditions or the perfect holiday event. We need to expect it to be more about something that's bigger than that, more than that. We need to expect this Christmas to be about how God can use us. See, if you expect a holiday, or maybe your parents, or maybe your spouse or somebody else to fill every one of your needs, you're just setting yourself up for a fall. See, there is no verse in the Bible that says the Christmas holiday is the way, the truth, the life. And that by putting your full faith in the holiday of Christmas, that your life is gonna be amazing. And here's the thing, our unrealistic expectations, we don't just do this at Christmas. Unrealistic expectations can screw up all different parts of our life. You know, think about how unrealistic expectations might have screwed up some of your relationships. Or maybe it's screwed up the way that you're looked at work. Or maybe you've had some unrealistic expectations put some unneeded pressure on a social situation that you're in. See, we need to expect it to be better and better than a classic Christmas. So what I'm gonna do today is I'm gonna give us three practical steps that we can do to do just that. All right, so here's the first practical step that we need to take. We need to let go of the things we can't control. Now, I'm sure everybody in here, in your families, you guys all have some, you know, you guys have a perfectionist in your family, right? Maybe it's your spouse, you know, maybe it's an in-law, maybe it's your aunt or your uncle, or maybe it's the person you're sitting with right now. And here's the thing, if you are sitting next to the person in your family that's a perfectionist, what I want you to do is just elbow them a little bit and let them know that they're the perfectionist in your family. Well, my wife and I, we've got a perfectionist in our family, and it's definitely not me. And it's definitely not my wife, but this person, she has a tendency to put a lot of stress on any event that we hold. You know, she tries to control everything. And then when things go off the rail, like they do at just about every one of our events, she tries to control more of the things. And then what happens is she just adds more stress to the event. See, there's a healthier way to do this. See, if up front you decide that it's okay, that everything is not going to work out the way that you had planned, that there's some things that are going to be out of your control, when those things happen, it's gonna be okay. So you need to set the expectation this Christmas that it's going to be okay when things happen that you didn't expect. And then you need to be okay with that. And then when those things happen, guess what? They're not gonna put the pressure and the stress on your event that they would otherwise. All right, the second thing we need to do is we need to set some boundaries. And we need to set some boundaries around the things in our lives that cause us stress during the Christmas season. And here's what I mean by that. You know, one of the areas that we need to set some boundaries around is our holiday schedule. See, before we get overwhelmed with the busyness of our holiday schedule, we need to predetermine what we are and aren't going to do. And yes, this means that there's going to be times where we have to say no. You know, like when your Uncle Eddie, when he calls you up and he says, hey, we wanna have the holiday event at your house because your house is so perfect and everything is so nice there and everybody loves coming over there. But if you don't wanna have that event, or your spouse doesn't wanna have that event, or your kids don't wanna have that event, it's okay to say no. See, this is one of the areas that I have a lot of trouble with. You know, I love to entertain, I do. And I think, you know, one of my expectations for our house is that the door of our house should be open all the time to anybody that wants to come through the door. And a couple of months ago, somebody came to me and asked me to host an event, about 80 people or so at our house. And I was excited for that event. I loved the idea of that event. So I said, yeah, absolutely, let's do it, let's book it. But the problem is that I didn't ask my wife about that event. Now my wife, she loves to entertain, but right now we're in a season where she is working full time. She is going to graduate school. She's taking care of a household that has 3 kids that are in 3 different schools. And then on top of all of that, she's got my crazy self to put up with. See, for me, this event was awesome. But for her, this event was tiring. It was exhausting. It was too much. See, by me hosting this event that week, I added stress to our lives. See, I did that to us. And so after that, we had to put some boundaries in place around our schedules. I am no longer allowed to invite people over to my house without checking with my wife first. And during the Christmas season, there's so much going on in our lives, and a lot of the craziness and the busyness and the chaos we put on ourselves. So let's not do that this year. Let's put some boundaries around our holiday schedule. All right, the second area that we need to put some boundaries around is our spending. You know, here's an article that I read just earlier this week. Here's a headline from it. It says, a report shows that 1 in 3 shoppers still having paid off last year's holiday debt. It states that 29% of consumers are still paying off debt from the last Christmas. And guess what? If you're a millennial, that number jumps up to 35%. See, please listen to me on this one. Don't overspend this Christmas. That fear and anxiety that's gonna come from that credit card bill that's gonna be due later, it is not worth it. So what we have to do is we have to set some boundaries around our holiday spending. Here's what we need to do. We need to set a budget within our means. And then we need to assign a dollar value to each one of the gifts that we're going to give, and then we need to stick to it. See, your family is gonna be so much better off if you do this, because it's going to be so much better for you than the chaos and the craziness that'll come when you've got this huge debt at the end of Christmas. And for a lot of us, this looks like we're gonna have some tough conversations with some of our family members. You know, we're gonna have to have a conversation like this where we say, hey, we are not going to buy gifts for every one of my aunts and uncles and grandparents and brothers and sisters and all 36 of your nieces and nephews. And this isn't saying that you shouldn't buy gifts for some people, but it's saying that you've got to look at it in different ways. And a lot of families are really good at this. Like in my family, one of our expectations is that we don't buy gifts for the adults. You know, we only buy gifts for the kids. I've heard of other families that do like a secret Santa, you know, or some families that just buy, okay, we buy one gift for one family, or maybe we just take one family and we buy gifts for that one family. You know, this is not about not buying gifts. The point of this is setting boundaries around the amount of money that we spend at a holiday. And you could have an awesome, awesome Christmas at any budget. You just might need to be a little bit more creative with it. And I know, there's pushback, especially for us dudes. There's pushbacks around boundaries and letting go of control. And what I always hear is that it seems limiting, right? That these things seem harsh, that they're not fun. But there's freedom that comes from boundaries. See, think about kids when they're playing out in a fenced-in backyard, or they're playing in a fenced-in area of a school or a park. They're out there having a blast. And it's because they're not worried about what's on the other side of that fence. And sometimes what God removes from our lives is just as important as what he adds to our lives. And when we do this well, you know, when we set boundaries well, and we let go of the things we can't control out, what it does is it leaves us margin for this next step, which is the key to us being able to expect this Christmas to be better. And that's that we've got time where we can prepare for God to use us. See, the Christmas season is all about preparation. And one of the ways that we can prepare for this Christmas is we need to make time to focus on God and to focus on others. Now, let's go back to the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know, if you think about Clark, one of the only times that he's got to sit back and reflect is when he's stuck up in the attic by himself. You know, he pulls out all of those old family movies, and it's right in that moment where he feels the emotional impact of Christmas. See, this Christmas, we need to make time for some God and us time. See, we need to make some time where we can have a conversation with God. We can ask him, okay, God, how do you want to use me this Christmas? Whatever that looks like for you, you need to make time for God in your life, and you need to make time to prepare to invite your one. See, there's so many people in our lives that we know that don't have the hope of Jesus yet. And right now during this season, they really need to have the hope of Jesus. And one of the things that we can do to help them out is to invite them to be a part of what we are experiencing and what we are learning here at The Ridge. And I know there's a lot of us that say, okay, it's scary, it's intimidating, it's exhausting to invite people. But Christmas changes that. See, statistics say that Christmas time is the best time, the perfect time to invite people to come to church with you. And that's because even people who aren't followers of Jesus, who would even think about attending a church service once a year, usually it's Christmas time. So invite your ones, your neighbors, your coworkers. Invite them this year. And who knows, maybe this year is the year that they say yes. You know, maybe this is the year that your simple little ask allows God to work through you as he changes their lives. And you get to be a part of that. And that's amazing. All right, now let's go back to the original classic Christmas story. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a look again at what Gabriel said to Mary. And here's what I want you to think about as we read through this. I want you to think about how Mary responds to Gabriel. Because I think this is so countercultural to the way that most of us would respond to Gabriel. So let's take a look here. Gabriel says to Mary, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end." Now listen to what Mary says. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have spoken." And then the angel left her. C.S. Lewis wrote this quote here, and I think it's so good it explains this. He says, "The whole cosmic salvation plan for the universe comes down to the response of an unwed teenage Jewish girl." Think about it. Mary accepted God's purpose for her life. And God gave her a miracle to grow in her, to be born from her, and to impact and change the world around her. But the only reason that happened was because she accepted that. She accepted his plan, and she made a choice to accept it to be better. So don't be afraid. See, God favors you too. And he wants to do amazing things through you this Christmas season. But here's the thing, you've got to step up and do your part. So take those steps that we're talking about today and expect this Christmas to be better. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mary and the fact that she expected it to be better, that she laid into your purpose for her life so that she can bear your son, Jesus. And God, as we think about this holiday season, I know there's so many of us in here right now that are already feeling the burdens, the anxiety, the craziness of this season, and it's already starting to hurt us and mess up our Christmas right now. And God, so I just pray that as we leave here today, we will remember these steps and we'll take these steps. Steps that'll help us expect this Christmas to be better. This Christmas not to be about the celebrations and the traditions. Those are awesome and fun. And we want to make sure that we have great ones. But at the end of the day, we know that things aren't going to go the way that we expected them to go. So God, we pray that you help us understand that our purpose in Christmas is to do the things you want to do through us. So God, help us remember that as we look around our community and we see the people who our heart breaks for, who your heart breaks for. Help us use this time to allow you to help them. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Community Church's podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.